Thank you for listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am broadcasting from Springfield, Illinois, our state capital. And live in studio, Paul Farvark is in the Allstate Showcase studio. And here in Springfield as well is Representative Robert Martwick, who is joining us right now. Thank you so much for staying up a little bit late, Representative. How are you?
Yeah, happy to do it. How are you, Patty?
I'm all right. It was a I took a lot of notes today. I'm trying to figure out a way to tell this story. I'm hopeful this year for me, from my point of view, to get more people involved and reach out to their legislators to know that they can be heard. And that's kind of where I'm coming from this year. What was your take on the first day of the General Assembly for 2017?
Well, I guess it is the first day of the of us being in session this year, but of course the new General Assembly doesn't start until Wednesday. So this is the lame duck session, the last 2 days of the last General Assembly. It wasn't encouraging, you know. It wasn't encouraging. We heard all of these rumors that there was a bargain in the works, and then we get down to Springfield and not much in the way of a bargain, and instead really more of the same, which is no real sitting down, no communicating, no deals. And in the end, Democrats, you know, what we did was good or bad. I mean, I think it was the right thing to do. We said, all right, well, we're going to at least put some legislation on the governor's desk that will try and preserve the most vital of programs. We'll try and pass some reforms, and, you know, we'll hand the ball over and let them do what they do with it, because we're not working together.
There was one bill that sounded as though leader Durkin, who was on the Republican side, so he had some very kind words to say about a bill that was worked on by Representative or presented by Representative Gordon, which was the trauma centers and victim recovery efforts, and some changes to the way good time is served. Is that an accurate way to describe it?
Yes, and I mean, this is the latest in a long line of bills that I'm very pleased to see. And then when I speak to constituents, one of the things I tell them about, if there is a bright ray of hope in Springfield, it's that both sides have an appetite for criminal justice reform, and that's what this was. This is about trying to reform the system so that we're not, you know, getting away from the 1970s, 1980s attitude of lock them up and throw away the key, right? And this is an idea of trying to find ways to rehabilitate people, give them credit for saying, I made a mistake, give me an opportunity to turn around my life and be a productive citizen. So this was a great bill. It's another step in many of the things that we've been doing, and those have been, by and large, bipartisan efforts. You know, what the motivation is really irrelevant, whether it's cost savings because we're decreasing our prison population, or it's just, you know, people wanting to see people get an opportunity to turn their lives around. Either way, we're accomplishing something, and that's a good sign.
You're right, and this was something too. It was an interesting bill. This was this is House Bill 2872. I know that, and I'm trying to figure out a way for people can search these bills, can't they, online? There's the
best way is ilga.gov, and it will provide you the bill. It will give you a short summary of what the bill does. It can be a little complicated with amendments. Never quite as easy as
right.
we'd like it to be. Because amendments happen at the last minute. So sometimes a bill can be, through what's called a gut and replace amendment, a whole bill can be completely changed from one subject to something completely different. And so you have to be careful about what you're reading. But it is a good place to start anyway. People can look it up and see what's going on with those bills.
And again, this was a bill that was—it's really about community safety, and it included things about that deal with behavioral health treatment, support for navigating the complicated legal system, a way to incentivize inmates to rehabilitate. And again, this was bipartisan. I did see one Democrat rise to say that she didn't think it would work, and that was really her whole basis for voting against it. But I think that, you know, it sounded as though this is a concerted effort to do something rather than nothing. But toward the end of Representative Leader Durkin's speech, he said that he kind of raised his voice and was very stern about, see how this is what we can do. This is how we can work together. And I guess meaning that as opposed to everything else that you guys do. Was that?
Well, and you know, I think the answer is, and you've been down there long enough to see that there have been a number of bills that does happen on, and way more than probably the general public understands. Even big legislation, my bill for an elected representative school board for Chicago Public Schools, you know, that went out 108 votes to 4. And it was because I reached across the aisle and addressed concerns that my Republican colleagues have. And so, yes, it's always great to say this is the way things should get done, but that's a two-way street. You know, you can't say include us in the process, but then when a request is made to include you in the process, you ignore it. You can't then claim that you're not being included, right?
Right. And now this is, yeah, that was for me a moment. I was trying to get someone from the Republican side's attention to address that. That was in relation to the bill that was basically a lifeline for a lot of services throughout the state for our aging population, for the MAP grants, for mental health institutions. And Representative Harris presented that bill, and there was a lot of, you didn't even include us, we had nothing to do with this. And several times, the explanation was, we did send you an invitation. And the representative that was standing to discuss it would turn and not even acknowledge that that was the case. So I do have a copy of that letter that was sent out on November 30th of last year. So that was toward the end of the year, an invitation to work together to figure out a way to solve some of these problems and make people feel as though there was some that their programs were safe. So I don't understand why I'm trying to understand why people were saying that they weren't included when there was clearly an invitation sent. And I would like to hear from some of the people on the other side, but I was not able to get that answer.
Well, I think the right answer is that they were not a part of the process, but that was a choice. Now, remember,
right,
we passed a stopgap budget that expired on January 1st. And so on November 30th, we know that this is coming to an end. We know that the funding for these critical social services and as you said, MAP grants to allow low-income, middle-income students an opportunity to go to college, to be able to afford college because they otherwise won't. These are critical things for the good of our state. And we said, look, the time is running out on this thing. Let's sit down. Let's talk about it. Let's work in these working groups that have been very productive, and the request went unanswered. So, you know, they chose not to participate, and, you know, I think a lot of that really is, you know, it lines up with a statement that the governor made that he's no longer interested in working groups.
Right.
He just wants, you know, the leaders to sort it out and just tell everyone else how to vote. And, you know, that's The Republican caucus obviously followed his command and said, no, I guess we won't show up to these things. But as you said, it's disingenuous to then complain that you weren't invited when you were.
And it was repeatedly. I mean, three, four times I heard that from the Republican side, we were not included, we were not invited. And the response each time was, we sent you a letter. And again, I have a copy of that letter as an invitation.
Right.
So to me, it was a lot of like, la, 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 I'm not listening, la, 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 la. And that's what people accuse Speaker of the House Michael Madigan of doing, of not showing up to meetings. So I don't. Yeah. Now it's kind of hard because I can't get a copy of those. I've heard our phone calls and appointments that were set or ignored. So that it is really. I know you can understand how people are frustrated when this is the way people are behaving in Springfield.
Yeah, it is. It's really, I mean, it's extremely frustrating for me. You know, I'm as I've said many times, I'm on your show. I'm ready to take the votes necessary to get this budget done, to get it balanced and to get it done correctly and make sure there is proper funds to pay our bills and ensure that we are fiscally responsible now and fiscally secure. And this is so important to me for the next generation. Right. I mean, I'm ready to take those votes right now, regardless of political consequence. So all the screaming and yelling about, oh, we want a budget, we want a budget. Well, as I say constantly, it's not that hard. It's math. Sit down, admit to the math, balance the budget, make the tough votes. But that's not what they want. So,
yeah.
No. So it's easier to say, oh, we want it and you won't do it. No, I'm here. I'll do it.
I do have a quick question, just because I'm going through my notes, and one of the questions to Representative Harris as he introduced this bill to, again, extend Lifeline funding for a lot of important programs, also including domestic violence shelters. What is GRF spending?
That's general revenue fund spending. So general revenue fund is the fund that the income taxes go into, and that's where the general operations are out of. There are special funds that are funded through other sources, and that's where we look at, like, you know, that he was talking about funding these services out of two of those special funds.
Income tax revenue and some gaming revenue, I believe, was $258 million for social services allocation.
That's correct.
Yeah, it was an interesting day. And again, so for people who are listening, and if you aren't familiar with who your legislators are, and I had talked to someone the other day who was like, I think it's Quigley, or I think it's Durbin, I think it's Duckworth. Those are your federal servants, public servants. We're talking about your state level, and it's fine. Believe me, before, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, I kind of vaguely knew who you were and Senator Mulroe. Everyone can go to openstates.org and type in your, you know, there's a map there you can click on. You can type in your address and find out who your representatives are, because this is important stuff. You know, now we've gotten past the election, both locally and nationally. And I do believe, Representative Martwick, that locally is where people really need to start getting involved, so that we don't go into another election in 2 years or 4 years from now where people are angry. I think the more involved you are, the more informed you are, the more you feel like you have an idea and a handle on what's going on and why.
I think it's so crucial that people, and you know, and I think that's a great service that you do, is delivering that message, Patty, is that you know, and so many people have begun to acknowledge that, and what you're doing, which is great, and that is that the federal government is sexy, right? I mean, who's going to be the president of the United States? Who's going to be the first lady? That's all sexy news. But the reality of it is that the decisions that they make generally, by and large, have such a profoundly smaller effect on your life than what goes on in state legislators. All of the bills that create the laws and create the programs that affect the way you live your life, the laws that you have to comply with, how much taxes you have to pay, what sort of opportunities that you have and your children have, and what sort of financial burden is going to be placed on your back, that all comes from the state level. So, yeah, that's so important to get involved and find out who your state representative is. I will tell you, getting a hold of your congressman, the congressman represents 750,000 people. Getting an audience with your congressman to talk about what goes on in Washington is possible, but it's a lot easier to wander into your state rep's office, who represents 100,000 people, and have a meaningful input on legislation. There have been people who have walked into my office and said, listen, I got a problem, and out of that visit has been created legislation that has passed and become law, because people took the time to come into my office and talk to me about a problem.
And that was what I heard from a senator from Morris, Illinois. She said that when she starts getting phone calls, those conversations stay with her. When she starts talking about a bill, she can talk about it from a more informed place. So, I mean, I'm talking about people being informed, but you can also inform your public servants, your representative and your senator, to know what's important. She was saying that she had been against legalizing medical marijuana until she started hearing from people who were really seeing the benefits and really improving their lives through something that was not available to them before. We need to take a quick break here. We are on the line with Representative Robert Martwick, who represents the 19th District. So if you live in the Jefferson Park, Gladstone Park, Harwood Heights area, he may be your representative. So go take a look at openstates.org and find out who represents you. And not just in the state of Illinois. I know people hear us all over the country and parts of Canada. Go find out who speaks for you, because if they don't hear you, then they're speaking without you. More after this on 720 WGN. You you're listening pretty late, I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from Springfield. Back in Chicago, comedian Paul Farvar and the host of the Singles Only podcast is in the Allstate Showcase studio in the Tribune Tower. On the line with us is Representative Robert Martwick. And we're talking about what's going on in the last 2 days of this General Assembly. It's a lame duck assembly at General Assembly. And is there a possibility of, is anyone trying to get much done? It seemed like you guys, you know, when you're going after workman's comp and trying to come up with some reform, it seems like you're making efforts and people think that you're not.
Well, and again, I think that some of that grows out of a frustration of, I've had the pleasure of sitting in a little bit on some of these working groups and watch them. And I think some of that grows out of the frustration that we have that, you know, we've tried in earnest to sit down and work with the governor's people, and it's like an ever moving target, right? I mean, anytime you think you've got some sort of agreement, they pull it back, they want more. And we finally said, you know what, let's at least put up on the board what our ideas of reforms are, how we think we can fix this problem without, you know, let's find a way to fix some of the issues that we have with the workers' comp, make it better for businesses, and yet still protect the workers that really are not at fault in this whole thing. And so, you know, that's what we're doing. And I like it. I think it's a good idea that we finally just say, we're going to go ahead and we're going to govern. We're going to put the legislation on the board. We've got the votes to pass what we need. We'll put it on your desk, and then you can decide what level you want to participate.
Well, and that was something I think was also tried in 2015. There were various efforts because there were efforts to the right to work was proposed in 2000. I'm trying to remember because now this is my third time. You know, I mean, as far as my trips, the third year in a row, I've been coming down here. And I remember that there were bills that were proposed because the governor said, I'm not going to move forward on the budget unless there's some reform. And it was workman's comp. It was the right to work. It was all these different things that seemed to go after a lot of working class families and unions in the state of Illinois.
Well, and I think that's important. And remember, you know, politics is, and I say politics, not governance, politics is all about message. And so, of course, the governor says, well, we need these reforms. Well, what does that mean? What is a reform, right? These aren't reforms. These are changes to existing law. And to say that they create some sort of reform means that you're taking something that's broken and you're making it work better. But there is no better here. This is a change in the balance, right? So what he's doing is he's saying collective bargaining rights, for instance, which are, in my mind, a fundamental right of democracy for people to organize and collectively bargain for a better workplace, better pay, and thus a better life, right? I think that is fundamental to a democracy that you have those rights. We are changing laws to restrict collective bargaining rights. So we're changing the balance to benefit the people that Governor Rauner prefers to help out, and at the same time harming the people that we in the Democratic Party. So I don't look at his proposals, his turnaround agenda, as reforms. They are changes to make things, the state, work better for the people that he represents, the wealthiest, the corporates.
And that was something that was brought up in this bill that was presented today for workman's comp, is that the people that are benefiting the most from workman's comp seem to be insurance companies.
Well, yeah, we instituted a whole bunch of changes in 2011, and before I got to the legislature, there were changes made at workers' comp reform, and these reforms, according to the governor's own director of workers' compensation, were paying incredible dividends in terms of the overall cost of workers' compensation. But instead of those savings being passed on to the businesses that are paying them, the insurance premiums were made the same while the cost dropped, and the insurance companies their profits went up exponentially. So they're not passing the savings on to the businesses. Well, how many reforms? You can keep making changes to workman's comp, but if the insurance companies are not going to pass the savings on, then it'll never reach the businesses. So that was why the bill that we had today proposed that we would have a process where rates would have to be approved by the Department of Insurance, and there would be a fraud investigation to make sure that there was no workers' comp fraud going on, or minimal, you know, that we can do a better job of going after it. And these are things that are not created out of thin air. They're not; these are things that are being done by many of our neighboring states. So we thought that there were good things to include and ways to, you know, advance the ball on making workers' comp better and lowering the cost for employers. Excuse me.
Right. Well, and that, and again, this is something that, as you mentioned, you do something rather than nothing. And this is an effort to present a bill for reform and figure out how ways to save comp. Because it's always pointed out that, well, Indiana's doing it this way, and look at Wisconsin, we should do it the way they did. And if we do that, I mean, that's, we can point out the flaws all around us. Let's come up with our own solutions.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So what do we have to look forward to? We have a new some new folks that are going to be inaugurated on Wednesday. How much changes? We only have about a minute left, but what are your thoughts? I know that you no longer have a supermajority. You do not have a veto proof in the House. Is that correct?
Well, that's true, and to be fair, we really never did. I mean, there was always 1 to 3 members. We had a technical supermajority because we had the 71 votes, which is what's required to override a veto, but there are always 1 to 3 members who wouldn't vote with the caucus, so it wasn't actual. So I don't think that you'll see a whole lot of change in terms of the way that this proceeds. I think the bottom line is that once again, the ball is in the court of the governor and the speaker to, as leaders to, really start communicating in earnest. And I think that the first step would be, if the governor stopped, constantly running for office. I mean, at some point, you've got to stop running for office and start governing.
I think everybody would agree with that.
Yeah,
it's something has to be done. We have to catch up again this week if you have time, because there's so much to talk about. Go get some rest. Yeah, you have a state to fix. I keep telling you that.
Great talking to you, Patty. Have a good night.
Thank you, too. That's Representative Robert Martwick. More after this on 720 WGN.